Shouldn't someone have kindled the luminators by now? Dan nodded, his hand unconsciously dropping to the sidearm at his belt.
Belay the mooring lines.
PB-109 drifted into the fenders guarding the dock with a faint shock of impact, jarring the soles of my feet.
Shore party, form up on me.
Several of the crew trotted over to join him, las guns at the ready, while the ones manning the heavy bolters traversed their weapons to point towards the shore.
Put out again the minute we disembark, and cover us from the bay.
Shouldn't you stay on the boat? You're responsible for it.
I'm responsible for my men, too. Gorvan can handle the boat. Coming?
It was a question I'd been mulling over since it became obvious that something was wrong. Given my unmerited reputation, I could hardly appear to be shirking, and appealing as the idea of remaining behind a slab or two of armor plate was in the abstract, once the boat put out from shore again, it would be a sitting target. True, the insurgents weren't supposed to have much capable of denting it, but if the purpose of the exercise was to lure the patrol boat into a trap, they were bound to have remedied that deficiency in some way.
Wouldn't miss it.
I loosened my chainsword in its scabbard and drew my las pistol. A familiar odor assaulted my nostrils, assuring me that Jürgen was in his habitual position behind me, and I turned to find him checking his las gun as casually as he might respond to a request for another mug of Tanner.
All set, sir.
As usual, my confidence rose a little in the knowledge that the one person in the galaxy I knew I could rely on would be watching my back.
I'm coming too.
Kalen leapt up onto the roughly sawn planks of the jetty before Dan could muster an objection. His jaw tightened, but he let it go, merely motioning his men to follow before scrambling after him. No one got shot, so I hoisted myself up to the rough wooden decking too and crouched in the semi-darkness, looking round for signs of movement in the HAB units littering the shoreline. After a moment, my nose told me that Jürgen had followed, and the soft snick of the safety catch of his las gun being eased off added that he liked the situation no more than I did.
Vox check.
Dan's voice overlapped with its own echo in my comm bead, and I nodded.
Check.
My own voice added to the ripple of acknowledgements running through the party. Only Kalen seemed not to be equipped with one, which was hardly surprising, as they were supposed to be reserved for guardsmen on active service. Although I suppose the same thing could be said for the lasgun he was leveling with every sign of being able to use it. Dan led the way along the jetty, which was fine by me. I hung back, where I'd be a low-priority target for any lurking ambushes. After an anxious moment or two, we made it to solid ground and looked around at the darkened buildings, which continued to show no signs of life. Dan detailed his men to split up into pairs, and they melted away into the dusk with gratifying efficiency. It seemed he hadn't been getting too slack with them after all. On the verge of moving off with the sole remaining firstborn, he glanced at Jürgen and I, and hesitated. Before he could ask the obvious question, I nodded.
We'll be fine. We've done this sort of thing before.
It was a relief to be left to our own devices. Our years of campaigning together had left us with an instinctive rapport in moments of stress, which we'd both learned to trust, and which never functioned so well with a larger group around to distract us. Not to mention that being left alone would make it a lot easier to keep out of any trouble that might erupt here, instead of being expected to charge into the middle of it, las guns blazing.
Good,
Kalen said, as Dan trotted away in the direction of the sanatorium, keeping to the shadows as he went.
This way.
I could have ignored the suggestion, of course, as having taken the Emperor's coin put him as much under my jurisdiction as any more formally inducted trooper. But I decided to go with him in any case. He'd been here before, which meant he knew the ground, and if Dan wasn't going to take advantage of that, I certainly would. He'd spot anything out of place at once, which could make all the difference between avoiding an ambush and walking right into it.
Where to?
I fell into step behind him as we made our way cautiously between two buildings, instinctively keeping to the side of the passageway where the shadows were deepest. Jürgen followed, his presence obvious, even without turning my head to check.
Chapel.
The hand supporting the barrel of his lasgun floated free for a moment to touch a cheap tin Aquila pinned to his coat. My heart sank, along with the good opinion I'd begun to form of him. Despite the clear evidence all around us that something was amiss, it seemed the only thing he was worried about was being late for evening prayers.
Refectory's clear,
one of the boat's crew reported.
Looks like no one's been here in days.
Is it tidy?
How do you mean, sir?
I mean, does it look like they were interrupted in the middle of a meal? Or did they get time to do the washing up?
Oh, then it's tidy. Places laid and everything.
Then they weren't intending to go anywhere. So what happened to them?
They didn't get sick. The sanatorium's empty too.
The palms of my hands began to itch, as they tend to when my subconscious starts fretting before the forebrains had a chance to catch up with it. If I had any hope that the missionaries and their staff were about to appear congratulating themselves on a choir practice well done, it pretty much evaporated at that point.
What are the chances of that? It's the only sanatorium in 100 kilometers. It ought to be packed.
I turned to Kaelin, who was probably wondering whether I'd taken leave of my senses, having heard only my end of the conversations.
How many people are normally in the sanatorium?
2, 3. More if something bad's happened.
Check the patient records.
Affirmative.
Sir.
Jürgen had stopped moving and called me back to an unremarkable section of walling I'd walked past while my attention had been taken up with the vox traffic. He pointed to a pockmark in the surface, about half a meter above his head.
Last bolt. Fired recently.
Too high to hit anyone.
It wasn't meant to.
I looked back in the direction the shot had been fired from. A broad, open area stood between us and the chapel, which would have been indistinguishable from any of the other standardized habs if it hadn't been for the icon of Him on Earth over the doorway. With a faint, premonitionary shudder, I realized it had been vandalized. Mud or some less wholesome substance caked to it, with obvious blasphemous intent.
It was a warning shot.
Warning who?
Whoever was here.
Then, where are they now?
Which was a fair enough question.
Chapel,
Kaelin said again, marching determinedly towards it, with a horrified glance at the desecrated icon above the door.
The Emperor protects.
You're right.
Where would frightened and disorganized ecclesiarchs flee to in a crisis? The sanctuary of consecrated ground, trusting in Him on Earth to keep them from harm. A dubious proposition at best, if you ask me, but then I've always felt the Emperor has enough on his hands trying to keep the galaxy from sliding into damnation, so I've tended to look after my hide for myself. Which probably accounts for the fact that I'm still around dictating my memoirs, while innumerable more pious souls are clogging up the cemeteries.
The records show 3 patients admitted.
Dan cut in on the vox.
2 fever cases, and a kelp farmer who tried to take his own foot off with a scythe. So where are they?
Rendezvous at the chapel.
I broadcast generally. I didn't need the tingling in my palms to tell me that whatever we were about to find, I'd feel a whole lot happier facing it with as much backup as I could get.